Hello, I'm Nanette Weiser, your host today of Lunchtime Conversations. And with me in studio is Alexander Jones. His journey as a dance artist is so fascinating. Perhaps you've seen him at Studio 620, or perhaps you've seen him at Dizzy. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Hi, it's exciting to be here.
Well, we're very excited, and you're opening a new season of Project Alchemy. But before we get into this incredible background, tell us a little bit about your journey as a dancer and how you ended up at Walt Disney in Hocus Pocus and Beauty and the Beast. Is that right?
Yes. Art's always been in my family. So my dad was a phosphate miner. So he worked on the locomotives. And my mom was a music teacher. She was actually my music teacher. So she introduced me to classical music. And my dad introduced me to Motown and jazz. And then my sisters, I have two older sisters, they were in theater. So that's how I got integrated into dance. My first ballet was the Nutcracker, and then I didn't look back since.
Well, you went to University of South Florida,
mm-hmm.
and you are a recent MFA graduate of Holland University for dance, and then you teach now. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so I'm actually on a little bit of a break, but I taught at the Florida Southern in their dance department, and then I did 5 years at the University of Tampa, which was great. Their BA program is awesome. I actually really love working with students that want to do dance and then something else. In addition, for them, it's teaching pedagogy. So creating dance teachers for the future, which is really, really awesome. But then they have other, whether it's visual arts or business or something else that also kind of adds into that. But I'm actually on break because I'm back at Disney full time, a 4-day contract at Beauty and the Beast and a 1-day contract at Hocus Pocus.
And you're a member of Actors Equity, which is really impressive. You're an alumni of ArchCorps 40 in New York City, and you worked with one of my favorite choreographers, Jennifer Archibald, as her assistant in the Florida Dance Festival. Tell us a little bit about the inspiration and people who have shaped you.
So Jennifer is actually huge. I actually saw her this past weekend in New York. I was in New York, and I got to see her. She is a powerhouse, and I love her her drive, her attention to detail, and the fact that she always wants the most and the best out of her dancers. I've also got a chance to work with Bill T. Jones when I was at USF, and there was something, the way that he approaches dance theater, the way that he approaches bodies, thinking his body's moving from the bones rather than like the muscles, those were things that I took away. Also, just the watching him work to bring out essences from an actor and or dancer that they may not know. It's like hard to put into words, but it's the coolest thing I've ever seen. So those things have kind of shaped the way that I make immersive and dynamic work.
You know, it's interesting for those of you who don't have video on the studio. So I'm sitting here next to you and I'm looking at how you use your hands and your bodies. And it's almost like a little chair dance performance, which is so lovely. You participated in something very interesting, Project Gen Yes, mm-hmm. at the studio at 620. And that was made possible by the Doris Duke Charitable Foundation. Tell us a little bit about that wonderful work that you did, Uncovered Power of the Being.
So I got to spend a year with Sharon Scott as a mentor, creating a dance theater work after working with Bill and Bill T. Jones. Sorry, I don't know him that closely, so I have to say the whole name. So when I was making that work, I was trying to get to the essence of what makes a person them. And also what gives them power. So I worked with 5 different artists of different backgrounds. Some dancers, some actors, to try to tell their actual personal story of them reclaiming power. And that was kind of a huge shaping of my career, too, because, you know, the studio at 620, Bob Devin Jones said yes to me in 2011. When I did my first show, which was First You, Then the Rest, right out of USF. And since then, I made it a point to make a work at the studio later becoming, you know, the artist in residence, and now having a company that's the company in residence there. And that Project Jeunesse actually shaped the way that I made my outreach for Project Alchemy, which is Momentum, which is huge. Giving artists a chance and saying yes to dancers in the community so that their work can be presented.
So I want to talk about Project Alchemy. So those of you who are looking this up, the website is Project Alchemy, and it's an international dance company. It's based here. Tell us a little bit about the launch, what you do, and some of the international collaboration and intentional collaboration that you do.
So Project Alchemy, I started it in 2018 in grad school when I was at Hollins. It was a part of my independent study, and it was important for me to make something that, A, I could present my work, but that also I could present other people's work. Also, something that could be an incubator for new dancers in a way that 620 is. Dance is super important to me, and something that we have a lot of in the Tampa Bay area, but it doesn't always get like a spotlight on it. So I wanted to make this organization that really spotlight movement. We have done, we've performed in Amsterdam on behalf of Amy and Jorn, two very big benefactors to the studio at 620. And then we also did Holding Common Ground in Vietnam, which was huge, which is an international festival by one of my friends, Emily Navarra, and she hosts all of these people to come in to Ho Chi Minh City and work. And so Project Alchemy went, I taught a class, and then I performed a solo, and we've been in contact ever since. So one of our goals is actually, since it's been hard since lockdown, but trying to get back so that we can continue that work.
Well, I mean, it's amazing that we have a nonprofit international dance company based in downtown St. Pete. And as you said, dance has kind of gotten, you know, it's not just Helen Hansen French. Mm-hmm. It's what you're doing. Tell us, you mentioned a couple other new things in Tampa. Share the audience with that before we come back to Project Alchemy.
So we have Tampa City. I believe they're in their sixth plus year. They're in Ybor City. And they do some work in New Tampa. We have Atlas, Modern Ballet, and then and they're doing work here in Tampa and also in St. Pete. And then we just had Break the Mold, which was one of my students from UT. Student adjacent, I will say, because I didn't necessarily teach her, but she was there when I was there. I've gotten to work with Corinne, and she's super awesome. And it's really, for me, it's cool to see a ballet company, a modern ballet company, a more commercial concert mashup, and then our immersive dance from Project Alchemy, like all existing in the Tampa Bay area. I think that's really huge and something that, you know, it's beautiful to see more companies popping up.
You know, your immersive and interdisciplinary dance works are often hosted in very unconventional spaces. Talk to us a little bit about that unique audience experience.
So I'll speak to one that we recently just did. Last season, we did Bloom and Residue, which we had done in 2019 with my friend Rebecca Lazaridis. Something the company likes to do is in the spring, we do a big collaborative work. And that was all about cycle. The very first version was about cycle. So Rebecca built this maze of installation in the beginning that people walked through, but then there were dancers that were also doing kind of a conversation between the two. It was all improv out of these cocoons. So if you saw them, it looked like they were speaking to you, but they were really just speaking to each other. And then you moved from that room into another room. And in that room, there was a big cocoon, and there was a dancer inside that was just waiting. And we would unwrap her like a flower. The flower was the theme of that first Bloom and Residue. The cycle of a flower growing, you know, wilting, becoming in the earth, and then coming back. And then you would see this dance performance happen in this space, and then the dancers would leave, and they would go out. There was no bow. So they would leave out of the space entirely. But they would invite you to come into another room, which was in the Ellis Gallery. So you made your way through the main room of the studio, got to the Ellis Gallery, and then you were asked to write down your experience. and you wrote down whatever you wanted, drew a picture, whatever you'd want to do, leave it in the space wherever. And then the next show, people would venture through the space. They would read what you wrote. They would see what we did. They would experience the dance. Then they would leave something. So the cycle kept going over and over again. When we decided to do it last year, last spring, we wanted to change it because Rebecca and I are both in a different space. Now working with magic, now working with ritual. So we based it off of the resurrection flower, which if you put water on this flower, it blooms. And when you take the water away, it shrivels up, but it's still alive. And what's interesting is that there's so many resurrection flowers in Florida that just naturally exist.
That's a real thing?
It's a real thing. And they exist like all over, even in Tampa, where they are literally getting water from the ground and then they're alive even when they shrivel up. So that's what it was based off of. So Rebecca made this beautiful mural that, you know, the powerful part of the studio is looking through the main doors and seeing that wall where the bathrooms are. So she made a spiraling mural that wrapped around the whole space. And then using this technique to make tree branches from her time, you know, doing stage design and stagecraft, she made these tree panels that were extensions of her mural. So now the audience comes in, they go into a lobby, we tell them about the show, and then they walk through the forest, which are these tree panels. And then they walk into the clearing, and they sit in the clearing, and then you hear this call, and the dancers show up from the forest into the clearing. They perform in the clearing. And then in the Ellis Gallery, we just had a singular moon, which was from her piece, The Unseen, which, you know, has a lot of value to her. So we put that up in there and we called that the Beyond. So the dancers actually leave the clearing, they go into the Beyond, they don't come back. And the audience then can traverse the space. And it's almost like, you know, you're going out at night, you're sitting down in this beautiful clearing, and you just watch some spirits pass through the forest into this clearing, and then you watch them, like, pass on.
Goosebumps. I have goosebumps. You know, I always love dance, and I've always thought of it as storytelling, but the fact now I think of it as a move. It's almost like cinematography, the way you describe it, with the intersection of art. You also have a big commitment to inclusivity and diversity. And not only do you want to do various art forms, mm-hmm. but you also want to hear voices from various backgrounds. So the storytelling, the cinematic feel of your performances is so multifaceted. Tell me a little bit about that.
I think that's why it's so important for me as like the founder and the executive artistic director to collaborate with so many people in the community. We've worked with Jeremy Carter with Jazz Theory, and we've set that a couple of times. We're doing a new collaboration with Bob Devin Jones coming up. So I'm, you know, hitting in theater. We've worked with Rebecca Lazaridis in visual art. Our community classes that we offer every Saturday at 6:20, it has a rotating teacher roster, and it's any style of movement. So you check our website, and there may be tap, there may be hip hop. I think this weekend we have a yoga-esque meditation movement coupled with a not counter technique class of sorts.
I'm in.
And so, and it's important for me to get as many bodies moving as possible in the room, and also to get as many teachers teaching in a space as possible. And anybody can move. That's super important to me.
I love that. So walk us through the upcoming season highlights.
So our season kicks off with Momentum. This September, which is a part of our Momentum Choreographic Mentorship. So these artists, we have four of them, they've spent a five-month period just in conversation with me about dance, about art, about what makes them tick. Maybe they're asking me about what makes me tick, you know. That is, we work through, it's so much of it is about not making, I'm not looking at their work in an academic setting, even though I am a professor or have, you know, I am a professor. I've been in academia. So I'm not looking at your work and going, oh, you need to take out that kick. You need to leave out that jump. Maybe you need to do this. It's more, where are you in your life right now? What's going on for you? How is that shaping the work you're making?
So dance has a transformative power, mm-hmm. and you do a lot of community engagement and outreach with the schools and nurture the next generation of artists. Mm-hmm. Talk about that and talk about how people can not only attend your upcoming performances, but, you know, if you're a dancer and you want to get involved, how you can.
So our website is huge. Our Instagram, at Project Alchemy Dance, and then our website, www.projectalchemy.dance, that's going to be your hub. That's going to have all of your information about our upcoming season, momentum in September. We have mixed in November, and then we have our spring collaboration, Room and Letters, in March. So that's going to be your hub to find out all of that information. If you go to our outreach tab and you're an artist, you're a choreographer, you are somebody that's interested in dance making, maybe momentum is something that you're interested in. And I know that that starts becoming live for us at the beginning of the year. So in January, we'll start pumping things out about that. Looking for people to join that cohort. And then our community classes are also in that outreach tab. And that's another way that you can, if you're a new teacher and you want to have some time teaching, that's a spot for you. If you want to just move because you haven't moved, you're maybe afraid to move, that's the spot for you. It's for anyone. So that's our big thing. That's our big message.
I just can't believe Alexander Jones, Project Alchemy, such a wide range of sensibilities and talent, from Disney to choreography to teaching. Most importantly, for making a difference in the community of St. Pete. You love this community, don't you?
I do. As somebody who doesn't live here, I love it. I live in Tampa, but I drive over every week just to be here and to make art here. And I've chosen St. Pete, you know, the studio, to make my work and to kind of foster this career. And so I really want to see, for me, it's big to see the dance ecosystem thrive. And not just in St. Pete, but outside of St. Pete. So it's like I work in this small area to then, you know, branch out and then to branch out again internationally.
Well, you have been listening to Alexander Jones, the founder and executive artistic director of the Downtown St. Pete International Nonprofit Dance Company, Project Alchemy. It is an inclusive, immersive experience. Please look at his website and the Radio St. Pete article that will go up on this to find out where he is performing. More importantly, get your move on. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.